This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Brian McKenzie of CrossFit Endurance and Thomas Cox of MealFit.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Let's see if we can all hold our hands up and tap. There you go.
Amen.
Praise dance.
3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Doug Larson. We have traveled to Cookeville, Tennessee. We are hanging out at CrossFit Mayhem, aka Rich Froning's gym. We're here with Brian McKenzie and Thomas Cox.
What's up?
Brian McKenzie of CrossFit Endurance, Athlete Cell, 3Fuel, all that stuff. We got Thomas Cox here representing MealFit.
Yep.
Oh yeah, he was showing us that last night. I liked
yeah, boy.
It a lot. It looked nice. What were we gonna talk? Oh yeah, I was wanting to start it off with a story. So we were just joking around about Thomas's accent. A lot of people listen to this podcast and they hear my accent. And they go, Mike is country and southern.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Which, I would not think so.
Which I don't mind that one bit. But Brian's been asking you the last day to say certain words and he's laughing. But if you go back to episode 2, we had Rich on with Darren and one of other Rich's buddies who is just super country sounding. And I think we laughed just the whole time. It was great.
Just at him.
It was fantastic. It was just some of the words he said. It was awesome. So if y'all want to hear,
do not control it, Thomas. Just let it flow, bro. I can see you kind of getting tight.
I'm not going to control it.
You're like, maybe I should just control this.
No.
Just let it flow,
just
bro.
Just be normal.
Just be yourself.
Like Brian keeps just asking like, to say broil.
Brawl.
that's what Mike's wife says too.
Why is it funny?
Yeah, my wife says a lot of words. Different. We won't say wrong. So she says them different.
Say oil, and she's like, oh.
Oh.
And then we're like, no, oil. And she's like, oil. 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 She's from Texas.
9 syllables.
She also calls ponds tanks. I guess they call them tanks down in Texas.
Ponds. A pond?
A pond, a tank.
Pond. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Body of water.
Yes.
I'd say pond.
Okay.
I would say pond.
I'd say pond.
Yes. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Thomas, we all know about Brian McKenzie.
Everybody
We've
knows
all heard about
Mac.
His spiel. No. Whatever.
I've only been... This is the third podcast.
He's old news.
Now.
Yep. Old news now.
He's a veteran on the show now.
Yeah.
At this point.
I'm actually... Might become an addition, but...
That's right.
he's basically a co-host.
He's replacing Chris Moore tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, Thomas, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you came from?
Originally from Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, not an Alabama fan, not an Auburn fan.
So this is all making more sense now.
Clear that up, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Not to be confused with Lower Alabama.
Not to be confused with Lower Alabama.
Not from L.A.
Went high school ball there, football. Dad was a coach there for 37 years. Played college football at UAB, played quarterback, loved it.
That's University of Alabama?
University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Birmingham, yeah. Okay.
A lot of people get really upset about that.
All right.
Yeah. moved to Atlanta. Moved to Atlanta. Coached high school football there for 2 years. Coached with my dad. He coached in Georgia for 10 years. Did that. Loved it. Football was what I was going to do. I had a history degree. So you really can't do anything with a history degree besides coach or teach.
Teach history.
Yeah. And that's boring. And so I was going to coach. I did that. High school for 2 years. And then got a call on a plane coming back from my honeymoon. A friend of mine at NC State University called and said, hey, this guy left in the middle of the night, literally just Baltimore'd on him, and said, you want this job? I said, yeah. So we came up there. We take this job. We're up there a year and 2 years.
North Carolina?
NC State.
Okay.
NC State University. So we're coaching there. It's unbelievable. 50,000 people. I mean, my office is in a $40 million building. It's unbelievable. So we're there 2 years. Not great. We get fired. I mean – first college job in a year and a half, 2 years into it, we get fired. And
got fired for what? Don't skip over that part. That's probably the funniest part of the story.
No, yeah.
You say we. Was it just you?
No. Everybody got fired. You know how in college football, the head coach gets fired, everybody loses their job. So we lost our job. Yeah. So head coach got fired. Mm-hmm. We lose our job. The guy that I played for at UAB, Watson Brown, comes to Cookeville, and I've never heard of Cookeville hardly. Comes to Cookeville because it's where he was born. coaches at Tennessee Tech, and so he offers me a job. So I come up here and I coach for the last 6 years, coached wide receivers, and then coached.
I heard it was. I just can't get over this. You said you called it Cookville.
Cookville.
Oh, that's Cookville.
Yeah,
I said Cookville the
Not
first
Cookville.
Time.
Sorry,
Cookville. Yeah, I've talked
because I've been you know told to say it right many times.
Cookville or Cookville. You just run it all together.
Cookville.
Yeah.
All right, just making sure.
So, yeah. And so I'm here at Tennessee Tech. Hated it the first 6 months I lived here. Hated it. Newly been married 2 years, no kids. It was just, this is small town USA. Year after we lived here, we just fell in love with the place. I mean, I don't know why. Just the people are great. It's a small town. Fell in love with the place. Did the coaching thing for 6 years. Coached receivers, then offensive line. Played quarterback, but I coached offensive line. So it's kind of weird, but it was great. Loved it.
Yeah.
And then got out of it. Started working at a church this past year. Absolutely loved it. It go from working 95-hour weeks to 40-hour weeks and being able to raise my kids instead of my wife raising my kids by herself. So it's been amazing. And along that road, started doing the CrossFit thing. Chip Pugh, who introduced it to Rich and pretty much everybody here in Cookville.
That was at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, he was a strength coach at Tennessee Tech, and he said, hey, we started doing this CrossFit stuff, and at the time I was running marathons, and so I'd run four marathons at the time. Yeah, I know.
Football player running marathons?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, Brian's like, that's just not smart.
I went from 215 to 193. I was down to 193.
Oh,
I
mean, wow.
Super, yeah, thin. I was 40.
Man, you must have been thin.
Yeah. How tall are you?
Like 6'2". 195.
6'2".
6'2". Well, 215 down to 193 is a lot.
I hear you.
And so we did that and then started doing the CrossFit thing. And it got me out of the marathon running. And then around the time we started really doing it, we hired Rich. And then when we hired Rich, we started working out. And then...
That's when Rich found CrossFit.
Yes and no. He was in a class the year before I got going with CrossFit with Chip. So he kind of got into it a little bit before we did, before I did, about probably 6 months. And then he went to the games in, what was that, 2010, and when he finished second, and then the 2 months after he got back, we hired him, and he started working here in January, and then we started training and all that kind of stuff, and it's kind of been a whirlwind from there, especially for him. So
hired him at Tech.
At Tech, he was a strength coach at Tech for a year and a half.
Were you were a strength coach there
no,
too?
I coached football.
You just did the football.
Yeah, okay. But we worked at a small university. You work with the strength staff all the time, and so that's what we did, and it's a great place to work. Don't regret a day of it. Just it was time for me to move on and find another career. So, but I love what I do now. It's great.
Then how did the meal fit come into play?
This meal fit thing, I started working at the church, and this guy, and anytime you lift weights and you're not in a community where people lift weights all the time, they think you know everything about everything when it's as far as lifting weights and food and stuff like that. And so one of the guys at the church said, hey, put together a workout for me. Well, he played college baseball, and so I knew he could move a little bit. So I just did some basic stuff. He's like, great. So he did it a couple of weeks. He's like, you know what? Me and my wife really don't know what to eat. I was like, he said, will you put me together something to eat? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I just had a basis of stuff from just the CrossFit Journal and just listening to people and reading. So I had a basis of, you know, the rights and the wrongs. And then I said, okay, so I did it. And I said, well, what about this? What if I put together a list for when you just print this list out and you just go to the grocery store and you get this. You don't even know what you're eating. You just get this list and I give you some recipes.
Surprise.
Like, yeah, exactly. And so he said, great. And so I did it. And he said, hey, this is good. I think people would want to do this. I was like, no way, bro. He's like, yeah, really. He said, get a Facebook page. I wasn't even on Facebook. I wasn't even on Facebook.
How old are you?
What's that?
33.
33 and no
What's
Facebook.
That?
No.
Yeah. And so he says, do this. And I was like, all right. And so he told somebody, and then somebody else told somebody. And it's just, so it started out being for busy people. And it's morphed into big people losing weight, fit people getting stronger and getting better and faster at workouts and things like that. So it's been, I mean, it's helped a lot of people. And so I love doing it, and I'm happy doing it, and I'm helping people, and so that's the main goal right there. So
that's similar to how you were saying 3Fuel got developed. It was totally organic. People were asking about it, and then they were like, "You should sell this," and you were like, "Oh, maybe I should."
Yeah, it was never the plan was because we had been helping develop a product with somebody with another company, and it didn't work out, and it just wasn't working the way that we wanted it to work. Mm-hmm. And so when we split paths, I was just like, screw it. We'll just make our own stuff. Like, we'll just do our, you know, we'll make a product that works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly how it rolled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd you guys formulate the kind of the ratio for that particular product?
It was trial and error. Yeah. It was, we knew that the coconut milk, worked immediately. You know, medium chain fats are an immediately usable fuel source. I mean, it's not obviously not as fast as, you know, putting carbs into your system, but sure. It's a fairly fast process.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that kicked in. We knew that the protein helped, but that at about 2 hours between the two of them, mm-hmm. if you weren't, you just couldn't keep up for too long. And so we knew we had to find something. And a guy reached out to me who's, we've been friends for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the supplement industry for a while. He is my current partner with Refuel. And he was like, hey, I got this carbohydrate that bodybuilders have been using for eons. And they would take it before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wouldn't have to wake up in the middle of the night because they get catabolic and feed themselves. So they just sleep through the night. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right. Let me try it. And he goes, I know you're pretty anti-carb. And that was my anti-carb days.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tossed this carb at me.
Swung far and then swung back.
Literally sent like what looked like a kilo of blow to my house, you know.
Yeah, this will give you a lot of energy.
He's like, this is going to give you a lot of energy, you know. And so we had the carb, and it's an HDP waxy maize. It's not just a waxy maize. It's been treated with hydrochloric acid, and so it changed the molecular structure of the waxy maize and makes it act like a fiber instead of a carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's both the carbohydrate and the fiber, but it sits at like 36 on the glycemic index. Mm. So you're actually getting more of an insulin rise out of the whey than you are out of the carb. And it takes about 2-3 hours for the carb to really kick in. And the carb outperforms any carbohydrate out there at 3 hours. So when that carb comes in, is when everything else is kind of slowing down. And it's just an endless supply. And so we were actually just playing around with the carbohydrate. And the carbohydrate alone is a great fuel source, which we'll probably end up selling just as its own.
Mm-hmm.
But the ratios we came up with were the ones that we felt not only fueled you, but actually sped up recovery. So we actually had the recovery protocols in place that allowed everything to happen that we wanted to rebound with. So that was how it played out. And the 20 grams protein, 20 grams of carbs. The 20 grams of protein is basically something that essentially, you know, from a biochemistry standpoint is if you've got 20 grams of protein every 3 hours, you're pretty much taking care of, you know, your amino acids. So
there, it is a myth that you can take in 60 grams of protein after a workout and it all work.
I think it varies from person to person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's not that it's going to break down in me. I mean, you'll convert that, a lot of that to glucose.
Correct.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think there's probably like some piece of research out there somewhere said you can't digest more than like 20 or 30 grams of protein at a time.
Right.
And I haven't seen the actual piece of research on that. And, you know, they might be talking about like chicken breasts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everything is going to break down differently.
Yeah.
And then you start combining it with different things, it's going to break down faster or slower. Mm-hmm. You start combining fat with anything and it starts breaking down slower. Yeah, and then every person is different. I think everyone has to like conduct a case study on themselves. That's actually one thing I like about like Tim Ferriss is he writes these books and he just talks about what worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying this works for everybody because, I mean, how many times, I mean, I've looked at supplements and I've tried them out when there's very little research on them and I see if they work for me or not.
Right.
Now, whether they're dangerous or not, who knows? Mm-hmm. But
only time will tell.
Like if I end up with like all sorts of weird growths, then we'll know why.
Right.
But you know, I'm not taking anything illegal, by the way.
Disclaimer.
Just put that out there. Yeah. This is all stuff you can get on very credible websites. But
incredible.
Yeah.
In the United States. No, but you know, everyone reacts differently. I mean, there's some people you give them. You know, a certain percent of the population doesn't react well with creatine. Like, they're not going to see the same benefits as the rest of the population. You know, maybe 5% don't see, you know, the benefits to the same degree.
Yeah, if you ever looked at like the individual plots on the graphs for all these studies that we all reference, it's like some people on creatine studies, for example, there's the, all the non-responders right. you were talking about. Some people might have gained or put on 25 pounds on their back squat in these studies. They're all plotted at the top. And there's a bunch of people plotted in the middle. And then there's a couple people that are plotted right along the bottom with zero performance gain at all.
Right.
So you might be one of those people. Yeah. You might be not the norm. You might be way outside, one or two standard deviations above the norm
right.
or below the norm. So that's to your point, yeah. why you need to do some type of self-experimentation and really see if it's going to work for you, because the average is a fake person. It's not a real right. person.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the other thing too is like certain products like creatine, even if you feel like you're a non-responder, maybe your back squat and bench don't go up, I would say still take it because it's so cheap and there's so many like mental benefits. Like,
that's the thing.
Yeah. You know, it makes you more cognizant and things yeah. like that. And it's good for people who have Parkinson's. Like, they've shown that like it can reduce your chances of getting that if you have more creatine. So a lot of these supplements, it's good just to have them if they're cheap enough. Like, you know, right. why not take vitamin E? Why not take a multi, you know? Yeah, try to get like a high quality one. But like, you know, when people start asking me like, should I take this nitrous oxide? And it's $60 for like 15 days worth. I'm like, I think you can spend your money better somewhere else.
Yeah. yeah.
But there's definitely some supplements out there that have been like tested by time. They're sitting around. You may not get all the benefits, but some people are going to respond differently.
It ultimately comes down to, and this is the biggest thing, you know, even in our seminars with CrossFit Endurance, at the end of the weekend, I'm like, look, I'm not here to sell you on anything. Go ahead, please, go ahead and go out and challenge this.
Right.
Or test what it is we're doing here and figure out for yourself if this works out for you. Right. You know, it's not about, hey, this way or that way. You know, and you just brought up the multivitamin thing. And there was yeah. not too long ago, there was a study that was put out that said multivitamins don't work. And we actually put a bunch of stuff out on our blog and 3Fuel about that. And then there was some guy on the Joe Rogan podcast that had come on and was talking about it. And another doctor came on, Dr. Rhonda Patrick.
That's right.
And was like, hey, check this out. The study that was done on that was done on people who were dying of Alzheimer's and had cardiovascular disease that were taking a multivitamin, meaning these were dying people
right.
that the multivitamin didn't work on. So yeah. now everybody's like, multivitamins don't work. And it's like,
and they didn't not die.
So it did not keep them alive.
Yeah, it did not keep them alive.
Well, multivitamins don't cure cancer. We know that.
Yeah.
The thing too with supplements, I'll say this. I heard a guy say this a long time ago. Part of the reason supplements work, okay, is you go out and you spend the money, whether it be something cheap or something expensive. You spend the money, and you know what? You want that to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you going to go do? You're going to go bust it
in the gym. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wherever you may be, you're going to go work harder because you know what? This stuff is going to make me better, so you're going to go work harder.
This happened to me a lot when I was younger.
You don't want
to
waste it.
I remember
cognitive dissonance, boys.
Yeah.
True believer. you believe, and you go to work.
You do. Because you think this is going to make you stronger, so you go work harder.
Yeah, you don't want to waste it. If you spend all that money, you want to get everything you can out of it. So you're going to sleep better, you're going to eat better, you're going to train harder, and then it's going to work.
It's working.
Even if it wasn't that caused the response, it caused the change in behavior that caused the response.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not going to name any like supplement companies, but there's a few out there that run like these challenges. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, do this challenge for so many days. I'll leave the days out so no one can figure out what it is. But run this challenge for so many days and you lose all this weight and people get all these benefits and like they all point at the supplement. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that supplement's not like, that's not the end all be all. Like, you took your shit real serious. You did that diet.
Exactly.
You got in the gym 5-6 yeah. days a week.
I mean, I'm asked all the time, probably exactly like you guys are. Hey, what supplement should I take? And I mean, it's my brother the other day. Hey, what do you think about creatine? Why you want to take creatine? I don't know.
Why do I need to take creatine?
And I'm like, well, when you figure out why you want to take creatine, right. why don't you start taking creatine?
That's true about those challenges. We have a friend of ours is doing one of those challenges
right
now. Well, his wife is doing it. They're doing it together. And he looks at, she says, I've lost 7 pounds in the first however many days. He's like, babe, you're eating totally different.
Yeah.
You're working out 2 more times a week than you were. It ain't the supplements. How you like that for grammar? It ain't the supplements. You're doing, you're eating better, you're working out more. Hello?
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of like someone maybe ending the challenge and then just keep taking the supplements and then like just kind of reverting back to old habits outside of the supplements. Because I'd be willing to bet that's what happens a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So,
no doubt.
But yeah, when I was younger, man, I used to like, I'd get a paycheck, I'd drop like 200 bones on, I'd go to GNC and load up stuff that was behind the glass with a key.
Yes.
Give me that.
Hey, I need this over here.
That.
Oh, man.
It's got to be good. It's locked up.
I hope it makes my eyes go bloodshot. Like, yes. It must be good.
The only two things they lock up is supplements and guns.
Dude, Mag 10, baby. Anyone take Mag 10 back in the day? Oh, man, that fired me
Ultimate
up.
Orange.
Oh, yeah.
I brought it back, didn't I?
Dude, Ultimate Orange, man. My heart should have exploded when I was like 17 when I took so much of that stuff. Wow. Like every day. I would wake up at like 6 a.m. I would go run like 5 miles, lift weights. I was crazy.
Lift weights. You see what he did when he lift weights. I ran to bicep curls. Sometimes at the same time. when creatine first came out, they had this old ball coach at the school my dad coached at, and he calls it. He says, "Hey, there's this new stuff out there you need to take."
Is that what he talks?
Just like this.
And he says, like he has a dip in his mouth
called,
all the time.
Yeah, yep. It's called creatinine.
creatinine.
So for a year and a half,
I
called it creatinine. And I didn't know. I just did what he called it, what he said.
That's awesome.
But I'm not the bottom part of that rung on creatine.
Say
when
what?
When I take that stuff.
Oh, yeah, it works well for you.
Stronger. And I do say this. I gain weight. I get bigger.
Yeah, I do too. I respond very well to creatine.
Very well.
Yeah. If I cycle off for a while and then I come back to it, it's noticeable right away.
No question. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm one of those non-responders.
Really?
I want to try, like Kiefer had suggested as like a theory. He said try doing like 60 grams a day for a while. But the idea behind that is not actual like because creatine has been shown to be like a myostatin inhibitor, which is like the, all right, so myostatin's the gene that basically it's the governor in your cells that keeps your from growing like too fast, I guess. So if you go just Google myostatin cow,
just
right now
go Google Wendy the Whippet.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's a whippet that looks like a fucking bull.
Oh dog.
The dog.
Yeah. Yeah, check out. Just Google.
No, it's like the bodybuilder dog.
Yeah, dude, it's got like veins popping out.
It's like this, just standing there.
Feed the dog creatine and his kibbles and bits.
Yeah. So like the theory that Kiefer has is potentially if you take up like 60 grams, like spread out throughout the entire day, you would inhibit that gene enough to get like better expression.
There was a rumor Bob Sapp was playing around with trying to get his myostatin gene.
I bet
he was. Yeah. I mean, I was actually talking.
Sap. I haven't heard that name in years.
Bro, he's been over in China and Japan forever. I think the rumor was from people that I know that know him that he was like, I want to get this myostatin thing.
He's already like 400 pounds.
I know, man.
Bob Sapp is like a 400 pound kickboxer. And lean too. Yes. And he's the biggest human being on the planet. Dude.
He's got fur on his shoulders. Bob, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Don't beat me up.
No, we all actually like you, Bob.
Yeah, Bob's a shit.
Don't come to my house.
Oh, man. But yeah, I've been thinking about that's such a pain in the ass to like dose that high. So I've been thinking about doing it.
Think about the amount of water you would have to drink. I mean, you'd have to drink 2 gallons of water a day just to get
I mean,
that
I'm
stuff.
Already drinking over a gallon of water a day. I mean,
there was a big push for people to try to figure out how to have an over-the-counter supplement that would stimulate that inhibition of myostatin. I remember, I think it was Tim Hendricks, one of the guys that's like the director or editor of T Nation. He was like, when he heard about myostatin inhibition, he thought that was like going to be the next big thing. This is going to take over.
I remember reading about it when I was way younger and being like, oh my God, this is the future.
Yeah.
They
did a bunch of research on it to try to like figure out how to do it, and like it was like a nothing but dead ends. And then I think they eventually just gave up on it. but people talk about it all the time, but no one seems to have done anything about it.
Yeah, not with human beings, at least, because they've done it with the cows. They've done it with a bunch of different animals. It's like the human research, we've heard nothing about. And obviously, all of us being in different places at different times, we're all thinking about this, going, when are they coming out with the human trials?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know a guy. I was talking to a guy just last week. He was saying, yeah, man, if they had it, I'd take it. Like, no questions asked. He's like, crazy. I was like, but, you know, because you don't know what the health risks are going to be associated with that. But I've heard the animals live just fine.
Cows are living just fine.
What that means, but
they just look like five times the cow they were.
Exactly. I want to eat that cow. Yeah. It probably doesn't have any fat in it, so it probably doesn't taste any good.
Has anyone heard about the KFC chickens that have like multiple, not just two legs per side, but like multiple legs per side? Is that real?
Wow. Hey, what?
Is that real?
I saw my
Facebook feed today. I saw like chickens that had two or more legs per side. Like, that's why KFC...
It's got to be true because you saw it on Facebook.
I saw it on Facebook.
It's got to be true.
It was on the internet. It exists.
It's the gospel.
Somebody snopes that and let us know.
I saw a photo and was like, is this true? And nobody knows if it's true. I haven't looked it up.
I don't know.
If you know if it's true, Twitter, send me a message. I want to see this.
Wow.
Especially if it is true, I really want to see.
Yeah.
GMO chickens?
Those dudes can't even walk.
Scary, dude.
They can't even walk.
Yeah.
Their legs break because they can't keep up with the.
They don't have beaks. They don't have feathers.
Yeah, beakless, featherless chickens.
That way, with multiple legs, less work, man.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, man.
It could be totally fake, and I wouldn't know.
All right, we're gonna take a break real quick. When we come back, we're gonna solve the mystery of the spider chicken. And we're back. Yes, we're still in Cookeville. We're still at CrossFit Mayhem. We're hanging out with Brian McKenzie and Thomas Cox. And during the break, the topic of Ecuador came up.
Yep.
And then he got about two words in explaining. I said, no, podcast.
So you have no idea what I'm fixing
to say. I have no idea what you're going
to
say. I mean,
we could go be fixing to go rob a cartel down there, and you would be like, oh, let's take that out.
We'd definitely leave that in.
I was going to say, dude, that's going to get a lot of hits.
No Chapo.
That sounds way more exciting.
No Chapo, dude.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? I have a chicken that lives in my front yard. It just showed up about 2 weeks ago.
Just two legs.
It's only got two legs. It's got all its feathers. And we've been calling it El Pollo. But I think we may be calling it El Chapo.
We changed it.
I'm changing that name, dude. That sounds way hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
That chicken's hardcore, dude. It's like cold and wet outside, and it's just hanging out.
Just wait till I get you guys to Hawaii. It's no... dude.
The chickens there are amazing?
Dude. The roosters run around that island like they own it. Just
dude, roosters can
up.
Be mean, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They're everywhere, and they literally... they're territorial with their women. So it's just they're running around chasing other roosters
around. You don't want to be chasing none of their chickens.
I actually have a hat, and I'll probably wear it this weekend.
Brian, why do you know why they're how do you know they're territorial?
Are you
a chicken?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a chicken fucker.
Trying to keep it clean.
So why are you going to Ecuador?
Okay, so
back to our original.
Yeah, back to the original question.
We're good at getting off topic.
We were going last week of August, first week of September. It's right around the first of September. We're going to Ecuador. We've got a girl that. In our church here from Cookeville, and she's down there. She's a missionary. She's working and running an orphanage.
Oh, wow.
A lot of orphans down there. And so I did not know this. Ecuador is one of the, I think, the number one producer of roses in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. So we're going down there. We're going to spend a week. It's going to take six guys.
So if you don't bring roses home, you're in trouble.
Mama's going to be pissed. Yeah. So we're going down there and through the church I work for, and we're going to build a greenhouse for the orphanage, because that's the way they can either raise money, you know, make money through doing roses or just their crops. And so this is about 11,000 feet, though, between 10 and 11,000 feet, the orphanage is. And so we're going to go down for a week, take six guys and build a greenhouse for them so they can make money and raise their own food. So Brian's going with us. I've got Rich Froning Sr. talked into going with us because he can build absolutely anything. Unbelievable.
Just so happens that I've built a greenhouse before.
Bingo.
So what did you bring? The chickens.
So that's what we're doing. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be really good. So,
Ecuador is great. I've been down there twice.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've been down there twice. Great country. Great, very good people. They use the U.S. dollar too.
They make it easy.
They have no currency.
Even more of a reason to go.
Yeah.
So, pretty excited about it.
It's CrossFit.
Would you take more?
Yeah. It's all over. Yeah.
You take more people?
Yeah. We probably need to cap it about 10, just simple because of space. But, yeah, we could take some more.
What weekend is that?
It's the weekend. We're going to leave on a Wednesday.
You're going to have like 1,000 people want to show up now.
Exactly. We're going to leave on a Wednesday, the Wednesday before Labor Day. So Wednesday before Labor Day, going to go Wednesday through Tuesday after Labor Day.
And if someone in the audience wants to go, where should they show up at?
Ecuador.
Ecuador. Meet me there.
Get yourself to Ecuador and you can go.
We're going to Quito?
What?
That's the mountains. That's where it's like 9,000-10,000 feet. Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I forget the airport we're flying into.
Yeah, I believe it's Quito.
Yep. Sounds right.
I've never been to Ecuador. You're going to have to tell me.
It's by the equator.
There's Guayaquil,
which is the main city, and then Quito, which is another huge city, but it's up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Because the airport's only an hour and a half from where we're going, so that may be it. Like the airport's only like an hour and a half from the village in the mountains. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Giving back, you know. I don't have as much as we do, obviously, so we're going to go in there and buy the greenhouse and build it for them. So.
Cool.
Yep. It's going to be great.
So you work for a church?
Yep.
Is that the same church that was involved in repoing a boat?
Oh, yes.
If I remember correctly.
Yes.
Mr. Larson throwing curveballs.
Yes. What episode? We won't go into that whole story. What episode was that?
Wait.
73. What episode, happened? He's a savant. He did it again.
Yeah, I know.
Rich told a story about repoing a boat with him. And,
hey, we're
him
a full-service church.
That's right. Do everything.
You want us to steal a boat church. For you? We'll get it.
We did.
Wow.
We did. You've never heard that story?
No.
Yeah, they give you the 30-second version. So lady at church calls, and she says, hey, can you go get a – we need a boat moved. I was like, yeah, sure, great. You know, I've been working there like 6 months. And I was like, well, where's the boat? She said, it's at my husband's mom's house. We're getting a divorce. I was like, well, is he going to be there? She's like, no, he's not going to be there. It'll be fine. Just go get it and just bring it over here. Well, come to find out, he wanted to keep the boat. And we couldn't get the boat latched on. We were out there sweating, and we're getting pretty nervous. Thank goodness the guy wasn't there. We took it to her house. Said, hey, you know, great. Good to see you. Thanks. You know, whatever. She called me 2 weeks later. She said he came and got the boat. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't go back and get the boat. But yeah,
that could have been potentially dangerous.
It could have been very potentially dangerous.
Bad quick.
Now, I did not tell Rich that's exactly what we were doing, but he was.
he didn't need to know.
I did not divulge everything.
Found out afterwards.
Yeah. What are we doing now? We're getting a boat and taking it. Why are we taking it over here? Because the husband wants to keep it and she doesn't want him to keep it. Okay, great. So we're repoing it. Yes, yes.
So what you're saying is Rich doesn't ask a lot of questions and he's easy to convince of some
tasks.
He's
learning. He's learning to ask questions when I'm involved.
So what makes him a good crosser? He's like, all right, I'll just do that.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure, sounds good.
So,
Brian, who all do you have training for the games this year that you're helping out? You got a big old list?
Rich, Danielle Horan. Brian Diaz, there's Carla. Carla's out of Africa. She's out of South Africa. She was in South Africa, but now she moved up. Mm-hmm. We've got, dude, there's actually a bunch more. I'm just not thinking about them right now. There's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
It's on and off, you know, and I'll work with kids all year. Like I've worked with Kinnick quite a few times. I trained Kinnick for probably two, three years. Mm. I still work with him on and off. There's another kid that's with him who's getting pretty good. His name's Nick.
Dark Horse.
Nick Robles.
He's got the coolest Twitter or Instagram handle ever. I don't even know his
dark
name. I just
shadow.
Know it's Dark Shadow. That's
Dark Shadow.
Dark Shadow. Real memorable, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He snagged Dark Shadow.
Yes.
No numbers good. Afterwards?
I think it's dark_shadow.
It's good.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He got in early.
And my Twitter handle was my daughter's name. That's real manly.
Yeah, you were. I was like, what's your Twitter? I was like, I think I just met a little person with that name. I was like, trying to put it all together.
Yeah.
I'm kind of slow. So
I'm fairly, like, limited with what I'll do and how much I'll do with people, and which is why, you know, the purpose of Athlete Cells, where it's like we've worked on programming for so long, and I've, you know, there was a period where it was just like I could only handle like 10 athletes where that was it. And I just push athletes to other people. And then once we devised a program, a way to get coaches involved to understand the program, to be able to program. So we have it set up so we have coaches that can put out the programming. I can oversee the programming. We can, you know, and we ultimately have like a kind of a hierarchical thing where it's like you've got head coaches, and then assistant coaches, then, you know, interns, and, you know, everybody's got part of the process and the way it happens. And that allows for a very streamlined system to where you can handle in excess of 100 athletes or so. Mm-hmm. You know, I think CJ Martin runs a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. Thomas, I don't want to forget this. It just popped in my head. I was told not to forget to talk about this from Rich. Actually, he didn't say anything. No, I'm just kidding.
Thomas
was
like, didn't oh say my anything. God.
He was talking about it earlier, and I was like, oh, yeah, I need to remember to ask Thomas about this. This is a competition you guys have coming up.
Oh, yes.
Now
yes.
You're super relieved. Yes. You're like, oh, God, what is he going to say?
What has he told him?
Mustard.
Yeah, the Mayhem for Mustard Seed. So this is really Rich's biggest thing, the first thing he's really done as far as like a community. Hey, get out there and do something very big. Obviously, he goes and talks to schools and does those things, but he's put his name on this thing. So the Mustard Seed Ranch is a ranch for kids that have either been beaten, parents are drug addicts, parents have left, all those different kinds of things. And so these kids are super neglected. Mm-hmm. And there are two homes here in Cookeville. And so, but it's private. It's not state run. Everything they get is from private donations, churches, just people, anything like that. And so what we're going to do is we're having a competition April 12th. It's a three-person competition, same-sex team, so three guys or three girls. Now, we're not limiting the number of team men or women. So it's just 100. We're going to cap it at 100 teams. So April 12th, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise money to build a girls' home. They've got the land running out to Yang out there. They've got 80 acres, but they don't – I mean, it's hard to build a house for 15 or 20 girls. And so we're trying to raise $400,000 for the girls' home. And if we can, I think we could do it with the competition, but if we can't, we're just going to probably make this an annual event and see how it goes this first year. But it's going to be exciting. I mean, we're 100 teams. Rich's team is Rich, Matt Chan, and Ben Smith. So it's pretty stout team.
Mm-hmm. Does he know that makes people not want to sign up?
Here's the thing about this.
There's actually a lot of teams.
Yeah,
I'm joking. Yeah.
I know.
I'm not gonna.
They
win.
Realize they're not gonna win. Right?
The thing is, if you think about it, if this is the only thing that you can really just enter and go compete against Rich, and that's a pretty cool thing. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you get to compete right alongside him, and that's. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing, a lot of things that because everything else besides the open, everything else, you know, you have to qualify for and all those different types of things. And so we're going to do that. And if we're
so you can donate money and feel demoralized on the same weekend.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an awesome thing. So
if you can't make it to that, can you donate online?
Yes, you can donate online. Just Google Eventbrite and Mustard Seed for Mayhem or Mayhem for Mustard Seed. You can go there and you can donate anything you want. And it's a great we've got our title sponsors. Title sponsors are going to be two of Rich's. Sponsors Reebok and then Advocare, and then also Dave Rowland, who's a guy here in town, does billboards and things like that. He's one of the title sponsors, so it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be a great event. And the thing is, we don't have a scale division, simply because it's not gonna be a 3-day event. It's only a 1-day event, and
too many 3-day events.
Too many.
Let's
3-day
just
events.
Do 1 day, guys.
1 day, wham bam. Thank you, man. Yeah, it is. It's 2-3 days, and so you come in on Saturday. We're gonna compete all day Saturday. And then go home. No scale division, but we're gonna make this thing doable for people that are not just super superior athletes. You know, this is not go compete and beat Rich at all these. No, this is gonna be traditional CrossFit stuff. We're having it at a like an equestrian.
No crazy surprises.
Absolutely not.
Not gonna have to swim with sharks or anything.
No,
like that.
No swim with sharks. No dodging dogs on the side of the road. I mean, you know, nothing like that. No cow tipping, anything like that.
If I went to a competition at Cookeville and y'all had cow tipping, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah. No, but it's gonna be great. It's gonna be really good. We're gonna program it. It's gonna be hard. I mean, it's competition, you know, but it's not gonna be something so crazy that people can't do. I mean, we're gonna make it to where the masses can do the workout. So
yeah, if you've never competed before, you just do it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, so especially, much fun.
Especially team is the best
team,
way.
Man. Oh, yeah. Team is awesome. Team is awesome. Way. Yeah.
When is that
team.
Again?
April the 12th here in Cookeville. Here's the good thing about it is, it's 2 weeks after the open, and there are no regional dates. So what you could do if you find out that you did make regionals, you can bring your team. You could take your three guys and your three girls and come to the event.
Good practice.
Oh, yeah. And what it does is,
and it's one day, the volume's not going to blow you out.
It's not going to blow you. It's just another training day. It's like I talked to Tommy Hackenbrook, who they've won two years in a row, and I was like, what's the secret? First thing is there is no secret. But he said one of the things they work together a lot on like competitions. He says, we can't train together every day. He said, but one of the things we'll do, we'll go to do a seal fit for a weekend. We'll go do a competition together for a weekend. And this is one of those opportunities. And here's the thing, too. If you don't make regionals, bring your team. It's another opportunity to compete as a team together.
Yeah.
And so, if you're at a box and they've
You train all year to compete. Yeah. And if you don't get to go to regionals, at least you get to do this.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's at a great venue. It's at a – where they have rodeos at a like a horse equestrian center.
Oh, yeah.
Big shocker, huh? But no, it's gonna be great. We're looking forward to it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, if I wanted to sign up, where do I go?
Just Google Eventbrite Mustard Seed for Mayhem.
There's no link off of CrossFitMayhem.com.
You can go to CrossFitMayhem.com, and the link is on the side too.
There you go.
That'll be easier.
Yeah. Eventbrite. /
Yeah. Brian, you were talking about a competition in Hawaii. That you're working on.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. I want to go.
So
to that.
I got fairly kind of immersed into the Hawaiian scene the moment these guys started to really like see CrossFit and understand it. And so I got a little connected out there, and a lot of these guys are connected with people within Hawaii and over on Kauai, where a lot of the guys that I hang out are from. They have got their hands on about 1,000 acres of land, of Hawaiian land, which, if you've been to Hawaii or you've ever seen pictures, it's not exactly flat. So there's jungle, there's just about everything. So we're going to put together a competition out there that we're looking to make into not just like a CrossFit event. It's a we'll be looking at like 24-hour events, like team type stuff, like circumnavigating jungle area, things like that. Then having scaled events, things like runs or even just CrossFit style events, and then making it kind of like the idea here, and this is still just very fresh, but it is having it kind of like festival style. We've got connections within the resorts out in Kauai. It's on the south side, to where we can, get some fairly reasonable rates for people to come stay out there.
You're putting us up in like what a big nice.
Yeah, don't worry, places. We got you guys right. Covered. we'll get you taken care of. Michelle Kinney was actually just out there.
She was
out there playing with my buddies out there, and they've got everything out there. So and I mean everything. Like from the boats to the ocean to the surfboards to the mountains to the hiking to the
weather,
horses,
the weather.
Yeah, it's nonstop, even though it is the wettest place on the planet.
Beautifully warm.
Yeah.
Same temperature all year round.
Yeah, so.
Same temperature. It's awesome. You pack same kind of clothes all year.
Yeah.
One of the things you mentioned is it doesn't get cold at night.
Nope.
So anything?
No, it does not. Well, they tend to think it gets a little cold, but right. It doesn't drop below like 65.
It's like when we were in Miami and it was 60 degrees. They're like, I am so sorry. I'm like, man, I'm in shorts and t-shirt, loving it.
Bledsoe's shirtless and flip-flops.
Yeah, I was walking around barefoot and everyone, they're wearing like parkas down there. I was like, man, my pool was frozen when I left Memphis. This is awesome. Ugh.
So that's going to be kind of like a combination adventure race / CrossFit event.
I think you're talking about navigating the jungle. Yeah. There's a lot of trail out there in mountains. We went out to, I wanted to go test the land the first time I was out there. I'm like, all right, what do you got? Let's go up there. There's actually zip lines that work across the mountains. We did a 2.5 mile, 3 mile hike, and it literally took us 3 hours, two and a half hours to do. It goes vertical.
A lot of elevation.
It just goes vertical, and then you're in jungle, and it's like, and there's spiders out there like that, and you're freaking out, but they're harmless garden spiders, but
as big as your hand
still,
though.
Yeah, they're spiders. Like this big, and you're just going, what is that? It's different, man. It's so, you're just in like this beautiful place and you see the entire island. You just get up there and you're just blown away at what you're looking at. Cause Kauai is actually like probably one of the last, like within the islands of kind of like less untouched. Mm. There are a couple more that are untouched. In fact, Niihau, which is you're not even allowed to go to unless you are of native Hawaiian descent. So at any rate, it's virtually untouched. I mean, there's very little that's populated on Kauai. Most of it is just pristine land everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it should put for a fairly entertaining weekend for people.
Yeah, figure out a way to incorporate surfing into the event somehow.
Absolutely. there will be some water involved for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah,
because I will be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, competition in Hawaii.
When roughly were you thinking about doing that?
Got to go for business.
Definitely
business.
Late August to probably October time. It just depends on when we can all agree on it. I'm going out actually within the next 2 weeks. I'm going out there to go over the land, go over potential competition stuff, and then, you know, getting it all organized. So
I'm looking forward to that, man. I've never been to Hawaii.
No.
We'll go surfing, boys.
I've been once, but it was a little too touristy for me. I want to go.
This is not the...
I don't want to do the touristy thing.
No. This ain't Honolulu or Waikiki, bro.
Kauai, that's where Dustin is, right?
Yes. Yeah, Dustin lives a very remote place.
Does he?
Yeah. I mean, Kauai is the farthest place in the United States.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Sounds like a blast.
Furthest, most remote place. I want to go.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up. Yeah. All right, Thomas, we got Meal Fit. I'm gonna let you promote anything you want right now. You got mustard seed.
Mayhem for mustard seed.
Mayhem from mustard seed.
We got mustard seeds.
We got mustard seeds and Meal Fit.
We got mustard seeds and ketchup.
Now, MealFit.co is what we've been doing for less than a year now.
CO.
Not.com.
Not.com. Some guy in California owns it, and if you own it,
California.
Holler at me.
Give it up.
Yeah. It's just trying to help people know what to eat and making it easy. It's for people that are busy.
Cannot recommend it enough.
Thank
I'm
you.
One of the trial.
He is. He is the trial.
I am.
We've got two different plans. We got a plan that for the just everyday people, it's a little easier than we've got a zone.
Simplifies life like nobody's business.
Which one would you recommend I be on?
The original.
You saw me with my shirt off today. needs to lose some weight.
No, it's good.
Normally I ask people what their goals are, but I'm going to tell you. This is what you need to do.
Now, we've got an original plan, which is like for that's what we do. We do the original plan. Right. We've got the hardcore CrossFit athlete, endurance athlete. We've got a zone paleo plan. It's zone measurements. It's paleo food. It's good. It's hard. I mean, zone's hard. I mean, you got to do the measuring. I try to make the measuring easier for you, but it's good. I mean, it's affordable. It's good. It's easy. I can help you. I help answer the questions. It's not just a plan. I mean, I'm there to help consultate you a little bit. So it's pretty good.
Yeah,
if I don't know the answer, I ask people.
Meal plans.
Make stuff up. Yep.
Meal plan, recipe, and
grocery
then
list.
Support, yep. Grocery list.
And support.
All right. So comprehensive nutrition.
Yep.
Grocery
whatever
list
you need, basically.
Key there.
Yeah.
A lot of times people get like recipes, but they don't have like, you know, it tells them they need so much of a certain ingredient, but building out the grocery list is tough.
It's laid out for you. I mean, this is to make life easier. That's what it's for, because everybody's too busy.
That's one of those common things that people get asked is, hey, can you give me a meal plan? And I usually go,
no.
what people want, and this is the thing that happens, what people want, they want, hey, tell me what to eat. I hear that weekly. Just tell me what to eat and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, oh, you need to eat less grains, you need less sugar. No. Tell me what to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. So it's good stuff.
Very cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, percentage of macronutrient doesn't help you if you have no idea what to
do. No clue.
If you're already an expert, that makes a lot of sense. But if you're a beginner, you don't know shit, that's not food.
People don't
carbohydrate isn't a food. An apple is food.
An apple is food. There's no doubt.
Never bitten a carbohydrate.
The worst thing we've ever done as a society. The worst thing is we've explained an obese person as a macronutrient. We've called an obese person fat. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the worst thing ever, because what we're doing is we're saying, hey, they're fat. Well, what we need to be eating, we need to be eating more fat in our diet. Well, it's like trying to sell, you know, a makeup to a girl and label it a makeup ugly. It's not going to happen.
You need more ugly on your face.
Yeah, it's like saying,
then you won't look so ugly. No, it doesn't make any sense.
You and your analogies, man.
That's what
you're doing. You just, you know,
that's genius.
Hey, buy this makeup. It's called ugly. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll take two.
Yeah.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You're sitting there saying, hey, you need to eat more fat. Well, if I eat more fat, I'm going to be fat.
So we should just start calling fat lean.
Lean.
Exactly. Wow. Here, have some lean.
Yeah, have some lean. Here it is. That's it's good. For you right here.
That's good.
So that's the biggest mistake we've made. That's the biggest mistake we've made is using the word fat. It's a macronutrient. It's like, hey, you're protein.
Oh yeah, I'm protein.
Yeah, I'm protein. Yeah, I am.
See these proteins right here? Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Make them bounce. So no, it's a mind shift, you know, trying to make people think it in a different way. And it's hard because we've been told that you need 11 servings of grains a day. Holy moly, 11 a day. You know?
Is that real?
Well,
that'll kill you.
Food pyramid.
Well, we're told that for how many years? Mm. We're starting in the 40s or 50s? Mm.
I think with McGovern.
That's why I learned in school.
I think when the McGovern report came out, that was when the new food pyramid started, which was in the 80s. But we've
long time.
Yeah,
long time. So it's just to kind of get people to think in a different way. And it's not a diet. Mealfit.co is not a diet. It is a way to live. I mean, this is stuff you can eat the rest of your life. You're not going to do it for
amen
6 weeks. Amen. Bless God.
Hands up.
You're not going to do
I
it for 6 weeks.
I love that boy.
Yeah. It's just a way to live.
Got so. B-Mac on a diet.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, what about yourself? You got anything to promote real quick?
Nah, I'm good, boys.
Good?
We talked about it.
Man, if you want to see B-Mac stuff, go to the last episode.
Yeah. Just go to the last episode.
It's there at the end.
Yeah. You know what episode number that's going to be?
Let's go Savant. Let's go Savant.
82 was your original, right?
He's like, we haven't produced it yet. It doesn't have a number.
That one could get lost.
Whatever this number is, minus one.
You can find me at CrossFit Endurance or 3Fuel with a 3 instead of an E, or athletecell.com, aller.com.
Excellent.
Not .co.
Hey, why not 3Fuel with an E? Is it not out there?
An oil company owns it. We're trying to get it.
Gotcha.
We may not get that from the oil company.
No,
that might be kind of tough.
Price is pretty high, probably.
Yeah. Just talking.
We're working on it. We're working
tough.
On it. But the three is going to become synonymous with everything we do, though. So I mean, everything, because we have a whole list of product lines that are about to drop, which the 3 will be attached to all of that stuff.
Sweet. So it's 3FU3L.
You got it, Doug.
.com.
Whoa.
For all the people that didn't figure it out, I just figured it out for you.
I had no idea. I was lost, but I'm easy to confuse.
It's good stuff.
All right, guys. Make sure to go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll inform you of all the cool stuff that's going on, new podcast, things you think you wouldn't not need to know. Ooh. That's what you'll get sent.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't even know what you don't
okay,
know.
Okay, so what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to rewind that and listen to that again and write it down to understand what he just said.
All right, guys. Thanks for having us out and podcasting with us.
Thanks for coming out, boys.
It's awesome.
Appreciate
thanks.
It.
See you, fellas. See you.